Welcome to the seventh in this continuing series of lectures in Shiurim on the 13 hermeneutical principles of exegesis, the 13 Midas, Yud Gimel Midas, right, that have been used by Chazal of Rabbi Ishmael. They used to interpret scripture. At the end of last week's Shiur, I raised a question in a Gemara and Temura, the Zayin Amud Aleph. And the Gemara and Temura, it's actually, I'm just quoting this towards the end of the Brisa, the Temura says, Mas Nisa Tanam on Tez Zayin Amud Aleph, in the traditional Vilna, the traditional edition, it's three lines before the lines become internally long. Tana Elef Vesheva Mayuris Kalam V'chamoyrin, Ugzera Shavuiz Dukhin Saifrim, Nishtachu b'mei Evel HaShem Moshe. In other words, 1,700 Kal V'chomers, Gzer HaShavetz, and the Tukhi Seifer. The Tukhi Seifer, Rashi learns, Rashi brings a, from Masech HaShkalim, that means that sometimes when halachas are taught, they're taught as of numbers. For example, like 15, first Mishnah Nevamah, the 15 women exempt their husbands from Yumim V'chalitza. So these were forgotten during the time of the Avelis, during the time of the morning of Moshe Rabbeinu, which you call the Torah 30 days. They were forgotten. Amar Rabbi Avo, says Rabbi Avo, Alfa Pichain Hechzirim Oslo Ben Kanaz Bitok Bepula. Nonetheless, Oslo Ben Kanaz was machzir them, restored them, whatever restored means here, restoration means here, right, based upon Pula. And he brings a pasuk in the means a pasuk. Yilkan osil brinaz achi kolev veitein loy as achsa bitul isha etc. Chulei. My question is that in light of what we've been saying, how are we to understand this place and this piece of chazal? I mean, my contention has been that a gzera shava, right, and certainly I mean a kalachay itself is a is a logical principle. Even the Gzeira Shava is always preceded by a Gzeira Shava is always preceded by a Hekesh, a logical equation, right? At which time in history, Hillel, as the Baisa goes on to tell us, right, formalized the Gzeira Shava, which is much more linguistic in nature as opposed to the logical principle of the Hekesh. This we've spoken about over the last number of Shi'ulim. What does it mean? So first of all, what do Chazal mean when they say Gzeira Shavuos and Kal V'chomers? I mean, I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu meant Gzeira Shavuos and Kal V'chomers, but what does Gzeira Shavuos mean when we're speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu? I mean, in terms of we'll be learning, the formal notion of Gzeira Shavuos really is a back with Hillel. Of course, we could always say that, in other words, when the Gemara is speaking about the Gzeira Shavuos, it's speaking about the type of Gzeira Shavuos of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the Hekesh that Moshe Rabbeinu would make, according to what we're saying, right, is in fact actually the Gzeira Shavuos. We could say like that. Or we could say that, in fact, it was a Gzeira Shava, and what we've spoken about the last number of Shi'ulim is the Tekufa Bitli preceding Hillel. But in other words, in any case, what's meant by the Gzeira Shava of Moshe Rabbeinu? What's meant by the Tukhi Seifer of Moshe Rabbeinu? The Seifer, according to Rashi, is a feature of the Mishnah. What does the Tukhi Seifer have to Moshe Rabbeinu? Now, I know this term is used many often. The Gemara says, Baruch Hashem Hebat Aleph, because Baruch Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was given, you know, Tanakh, Mishnah, Gemara says in the Testament based on Megillah, right? Even Diktukim of the Seifrim in later generations. But okay, this also begs the question: what is the Gemara referring to?
Truth is assuming that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have the text of the Mishnah in front of him.
Did he have the text, our text of Mishnah, in front of him? He might have had the Lacha, but I would assume that our text.
Right.
I mean, he had all the Kiddushim, all the Seifrim before of him. There are some people who would learn like that. What I'm suggesting is that the Gemara has come to teach me a principle about Moshe Rabbeinu, and we shouldn't necessarily offer what I would call Karaic interpretations of Chazal. But in any case, we'll go further. We'll speak about that Gemara in Brachos of Heman Aleph a little bit later. Okay. One can certainly learn it means an explicit Mishnah. One can certainly mean that the idea of Mishnah, of Gemara, of Drasha, right, was from Moshe Rabbeinu. Like the Gemara says Essentially, the Gemara says in Pesayim and Aleph and Shabbos that Moshe Rabbeinu thought of things be dieted. Right? And then the Gemara says, my dosh. So there's a well-known dispute, machlekes, between the Tosfos there and Pesayim and Aleph and Shabbos, and between the Gur Aryeh. And the Tosfos says the dosh is obviously the smachta. So therefore, in other words, according to Tosfos, when Moshe Rabbeinu makes a drasha, the Tosfos would learn that it doesn't necessarily mean he's making actually a drasha. It means that he thought of something himself, and then somehow after that, Moshe Rabbeinu was semichit on what we would call a drasha. So according to that Tosfos, it would come out that, in other words, what we're speaking about Gzeira Shava and Gemara and Mishnah could also be understood in laws of the Tosfos. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu certainly had, you know, the ideas, these ideas of, you know, these ideas of formulating the halacha, right, in the Tanya Shmi'apah, Moshe Rabbeinu had. What we technically call Mishnah Gemara, those are terms that, you know, that developed later. I'm not really want to go into that now.
What does Gur Aryeh say?
The Gur Aryeh, I don't say, well, isn't called Tosfos Apikosim. He basically insinuates that they have no respect for Chazal.
Where's the Gur Aryeh?
The Gur Aryeh is actually in Shemois. I believe the Gur Aryeh is in Parshas Yisroi, when Moshe Rabbeinu says Hayom, and Moshe Rabbeinu adds a Yom Midaitai, so there the Gur Aryeh quotes the Gemara, asking why she quotes the Gemara in the Chumash, and the Gur Aryeh quotes the Tosfos, and to say it's only a Samachta, so the Gur Aryeh says that doesn't really show much respect for Chazal. And I was the Gur Aryeh implying that Tosfos doesn't have respect for Chazal, I leave that up to you. But in any case, the Gur Aryeh understands that in Lishitosai, that an Asmachta is really not much different than that of a Drasha. But right now, I think this is neither here nor there. Certainly, a Pita Tosfos, Midaita, we can understand that we have to look at these Agadotas literally. For those of you who still accept the Rishonim's commentary on Agadotas. Now, but in any case, the question I want to ask is, what does it mean they were forgotten? In 30 days, they forgot 1,700 Gzeira Shavas. Chal v'chomer, the Tukhi Seifrim. And not only that, what does it mean also the Ganash restored them up based upon Vilipo? First of all, I mean, a Chal v'chomer is a logical principle. A Gzeira Shava, as I've explained in the Shiurim, is based upon a logical principle. And certainly, the Tukhi Seifrim is a nusach of a Mishnah. In other words, what does it mean? What is this pilpul that also the Ganaz is introducing? Are we going backwards? Are we taking the Gemidus and we're going backwards in time? We're restoring them to a pre-Gemidus state where there was only pilpul? That's my question. Now, the fact is that the Gemara even says it has both of bays, is that until Mishnah, the same Gemara in Tavula says Moshe Shemesh Yisrael Ben Yaza, they used to learn Terlach Moshe Rabbeinu. From afterwards, they didn't learn Terlach Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that, in other words, the Derech HaLimud until Yisrael Ben Yaza, who was the very beginning of the Zugos and beginning the Mishnayos, right, also they didn't learn Terlach the same way. So once again, like I said before, when it says Gzeira Shava Kavachomer, it's not clear we can understand those terms, right, the way we commonly understand them in Shas, because they didn't learn. In other words, we don't learn Torah the way Moshe Rabbeinu learned Torah.
Doesn't Rashi there say it's the way they were learning rather than what they're learning?
But the way they're learning, but Yigim Amidus because they're Shavet Kavachoymes is that they're a Chalima. That's the way they, in other words.
I was talking about the intensity of learning or something.
What?
I was talking about the intensity of their learning.
No. Rashi says Libo Di Ma'it after when they were Ma'it, right? It means there that they had to be Maxa things like they pilpo. It's Mashmi, there was a Der Halima.
It's a change in the
right, okay, fine. Now, so, how we, in other words, the question I'm raising is, number one, what does the Gemara mean? Machsa, how you machsa midas hayde pilpul? So there are no midas. You lost the midas. Now, what's interesting is, the Gemara in Sukkah, Chafam and Aleph, says the same thing about Hillel. The Torah was forgotten, uvat Torah v'irzira, uvat Hillel v'irzira. Right? The Gemara says in Sukkah, Chafam and Aleph, I think I quoted that Gemara previously, and in that very Gemara, Rashi says, when was Hillel machzor the Torah after it was Nishkacha? Says, Shachar, and Hillel was machzor it. Says Rashi, Sabbath Vavim Aleph with Bnei Beseira and Erev Pesach. But what is, in other words, But this type, this is a reverse process. There, Hillel was machzir the Gezeira Shavra, or the Kavachayna. Here, I mean machzir the Pilpul. So, I would like to propose a way of learning this Gemara, but first I want to begin with a little introduction. Many times in Agadatas, I suppose one could say Agadatas have many purposes, but I always like to think that Agadatas are coming to teach me something. They're not coming to tell me things about history, even though I'm sure Delph Agav Agadatas are telling me something about history. But many Agadatas, I think, are coming to you. Now, I'm not going to call it a mashal, because there's no reason to think that, Asel Ganas historically was not mocks of things of the day people. But an Agadata also is coming to teach me something, a didactic purpose. It's coming to tell me, Chazal felt it very important to tell me Agadatas, especially in the middle of Masechtas. Now, what are Chazal coming to teach me here? Now, there's an interesting Gemara, Yabez Amud Beis, in Elevin. And Rebbe, Yud Gimel Beis, in Elevin, and there Rebbe makes a very interesting, before they're speaking about Rabbi Meir. And Rebbe says, I'm quoting the Gemara, Yud Gimel Beis in Elevin, Omer Rebbe, Haid Bechadrana Bechavloi, why am I smarter than my friends, the Chazis Lameh Machoyre, I saw the back of Rabbi Meir. If I would have seen in front of him, how would Bechadim Tfei? That would be smarter. Now we could ask two very simple questions. First of all, what makes you so smart about seeing up the back of a person in front of a person? But even more so, well, if you would have been smarter, so why didn't you see the front of him? Just, turn around or go through the side of the room. I can't help but think that the Gemara here is drawing upon the analogy of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Kodesh Baruch Hu after the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Hareini Askevodecha," and what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu says? You can't see my face. V'Re'is Es Achoyrai, you'll see the back of me. That's clearly. In other words,
Prophet also done hey.
No. The Gemara says in Baruch Hu Vav, you saw Keshet HaTefillin. But I'm saying that the Parshas can see, it's a Chumash. It's clear that the Gemara, I think it's clear the Gemara is making an analogy to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's all I want to claim. The Gemara is making a tzushtel, an analogy, between Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Pete Rebbe, the Rabbi Meir. What is the analogy? What is the Gemara speaking about? So I want to claim the following thing. The Stav Mishnah, we learn, is Rabbi Meir. That's the Mishnah. What did Rabbi do? As I mentioned several times in Chasim Sashas, Rabbi, according to the Gemara Lama Gimel, Amin Aleph, Amin Beis, Amin Metzia, introduces not only does Rabbi, is Rabbi Mechava the Mishnah, redacts the Mishnah, but Rabbi creates a new canon called Mishnah, right, and introduces the notion of Gemara. This is according to Rashi, Lama Gimel Beis. Namely, then what? Is that the Amoraim come, in the same way the Amoraim exegetically interpreted scripture, now Amoraim come to create what you would call an exegesis on Mishnah. We've spoken about this. Now, what does it do when I interpret something, when I interpret the Mishnah? Interpretation, right, many times, makes the yukim. We create reading in chesurim nixera. When I see a person's face, I don't have to interpret him. I see his face. When I see the back of the face, that's when I interpret a person. You see a person walking, you don't know who that person is. So you may gather, from the back of him, maybe he's this. That person probably looks like this. In other words, you make all different types of inferences and interpretations. In other words, a person performs a verbal exegesis whenever a person sees the back of a person's face. Hey.
I want to say, that's what the Gemara is saying. Rebbe is speaking about his role in the construction and redaction of the Mishnah. He says, what makes me so smart? Which means, what was that which allowed me to create the Gemara? Why did I play this role in history? Why was I assigned this role in history? Because I saw the back of Rabbi Meir. Seeing the back of Rabbi Meir means is that I was able to understand the notion of interpreting Mishnah. That's called Gemara. Like Rashi defined, every Rashi, a few places in Shabbos, Heyman Aleph, Brachas. Heyman Aleph and Brachas, Yon Aleph and Beza Brachas, from Zayin and Beza Brachas. Gemara is the interpretation of Mishnayos. Gemara is taking Mishnayos and dialectically opposing them, offering interpretations and resolutions. In other words, Rebbe in this Gemara, in Yigimel Beis, is commenting upon his role in the redaction of the Mishnah, which is Tam Rabbi Meir. It's very, very good. In other words, what do we say? But I want to let you see that obviously Chazal understood, they don't say this, but this is what I'm ascertaining, that the passage in Parshas Kisisa with Moshe Beinu and the Kadosh Baruch Hu has its analogy in Rebbe and Rabbi Meir. So we see, according to this, I want to claim, we see that Chazal could use the Chumash or something that happened with Moshe Rabbeinu, etc., etc., also to express their role too. Now, I want to say here in Temura, the Tazayim and Aleph, we have a similar thing. The similar thing is that, of course, I'm not denying the fact, I'm sure what Chazal is saying is Divrei Emes, Moshe Rabbeinu, but what Chazal might also be saying is drawing the analogy between what I would call the era of the Yud Gimel Midas and the post-era of the Yud Gimel Midas. Now, what am I referring to when I say this? I'm referring to the following thing. If we take a look at the Teras Kahanim, which I spoke about last week, I think I spoke about it last week, but I'll think about it right now, we see something very interesting. The Teras Kahanim begins with the Brayta of Rabbi Shmuel. And then we have the list of the Yud Gimel Midas. It also mentions the seven Midas of the seven Midas of Hillel. But if you look afterwards, the text of the Teras Kahanim, we don't see necessarily that the Teras Kahanim, the Midas of Teras Kahanim, necessarily follows Yud Gimel Midas. But more so, we see what's called a lot of shakel v'talia, give and take. A lot of the text of the Teras Kahanim is a give and take. Do I compare it to this? Do I compare it to that? It's what you would call pilpul. And I want to, in other words, and actually we saw an example of this style actually in the Gemara.
Pilpul in the Midas.
In the Midas. And how to learn something. Like for example, we saw an example, we spoke about this Gemara, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, in which in Bava Kamma, Rav Ashi makes a gzera shava, tachas tachas. But the question is, what are you comparing to what? There's a meaning, what are you comparing to what? Right? So Rashi says, my chazas. What are you comparing to this? Compare it to that? Compare it to behavior, to other. In other words, Gemara goes back, Rav Ashi goes back for the Bilbo. And it was on this Gemara that famous Nebuka Yosef was invoked, that sometimes, right, Chazal will have a svara, and from this far, they'll construct the Gezer HaShavah, the Mugi Yosef says. Now, when we learned that, we learned Mugi Yosef, we learned the supply side of Mugi Yosef, that the Hekesh preceded the Gezer HaShavah. But now I want to use perhaps the supply side. The Pashtus of the Mugi Yosef is that we don't begin, in other words, we don't begin with the Gezer HaShavah. We don't begin with the Hekesh. There's a pilpul. In other words, I could compare A to B or A to C. And there's a pilpul. And we basically, and the pilpul means, in other words, we compare the two comparisons. Is it, do you compare it to A, right? There's the pros and cons of comparing it to one or the other. Then after that, we come up with a conclusion. And then from that, reconstruct the Gzeh HaShofar. I mean, clearly Rav Ashi is constructing the Gzeh HaShofar out of this pillar. In which case, I want to say the following thing. We see many, many times in the Teres Kahanim that, for example, that the Teres Kahanim goes through an entire pilpul, and then we see somewhere else, for example, the Meid HaBeis said it very succinctly. Let me give an example. In the Teres Kahanim in Vayikra, Perek Gimel, the Dover it's called, in this version of Teres Kahanim, which is one of the newer versions here, it's Daf Chavtesa Ben Aleph, so Takrivu. So the Teres Kahanim says, Melamed Shiba Nedovah Shnayim. We see that a partner, two people can bring a Nedovah. The like Dino. Because it's a Din. You could extrapolate it. Right? Deduce it. Oilas Oipa Beneda of Nedovah. For this Behema Bonim Nedovah. Malot Oip Shuba Beneda Nedovah. Hurry Ba Nedovah Shnayim. Just like an Oilas Ha'oif, which comes with Neder Nedava, can come Shnayim. So the Oilas Behema, which comes with Nedava, comes Shnayim. All Kalat the Derevzen. This is a very interesting Lushan in the Teres Kahanim. All Kalat Derevzen. In other words, you can say the opposite. You can make the opposite point. Mincha Baba Neder of Nedava. And Oilas Behema Ba Neder Nedava. Ma Mincha Shiba Neder Nedava, Enu Ba Nedava Shnayim. Afolas Behema Shiba Neder Nedava Shnayim. So the word the Gemara says, do I compare it to an Oilas Ha'oif? Do I compare it to a Mincha? An Oilas Ha'oif can be brought as a partnership, and therefore an Oilas Behema can be brought as a partnership too, or maybe compared to a Mincha. So after that, the Teres Kahanim goes on and says, Nir Lemi Daiva. In other words, what should I compare? Should I compare A to B or A to C? So it kind of goes on and says, right, Donin Dava Shekulo Oila Le'ishim, Midava Shekulo Le'ishim, Adachim Men Mishin Kulo Oila Le'ishim. In other words, maybe I should compare it to an Oilas Ha'oif because it's totally consumed, and Oila is a whole offering, whereas a mincha is not totally consumed. Or kalef l'derek zeh, go the opposite way. Kalef l'derek zeh is a way of pilpul.
Is it only in Teres Kahanim that lashon?
I'm not sure. I see it very often in Teres Kahanim. Dan and davishu bas choy v'tzibor da da da. And then the Gemara says talmud loyma etc. But we see that the Gemara goes back and forth, weighs the two sides, and then comes to a conclusion. Now the fact is that this Gzeira Shava, or this Limud, it's not a binyanah, this Limud, appears Tam in the Gemara in Menachos. Kuvdal and Mabez. It also appears elsewhere in Teres Kahanim true, but I brought the Menachos with me, so I'll bring the Menachos. But it says in Menachos, right? Okay? So, the Mishnah says, Ein Shnai Misnadim Yisoon Echad, Misnadim Oile Vishlamim. So in other words, my time, what's the reason? Ela mishum dechsiv attack of oil, I'm not going to see Ela my time, lo yseichem. In other words, Gemara Lishma, certain pasuk. What about mincha? Gemara said, no, but mincha is nefesh. No pilpul. In other words, no pilpul. In fact, actually, this is actually brought later on in Parachas of Vayikra, and I think it's brought b'shem Rebbe. Rabbi Oimer, Hareo Oimer Asher Yaakov Kobani, Lachon Nidrehem, Lachon Nidvoisem, Asher Kriel Hashem La'oila, Kolakachim Baim Mishutfis, Ela Shesolak HaKosav Is HaMincha. In other words, when Rabbi stated the halachas appears in the Gemara basically learned from a pasuk, or they say Chem, etc., etc., and the Gemara excluded Mincha, the pasuk. There was the Teos Masalik Mincha, because it says Nefesh. In other words, Rebbe's making a very, what's called a linguistic limb that we've spoken about. The limb is very, very, but the fact is that here in this Teres Kahanim, the Gemara goes through an entire masamata. Now, I'm tempted to think, there's no reason, after Rebbe has the limb, there's no reason to go through masamata. It was a fait accompli, we don't know what the halacha is. I really believe, Allah Nibuka Yosef in Perak HaChayfa, that the Gemara went through a masamata, a logical masamata, and afterwards Rebbe stated the din in terms of this drasha, or the seichah. Okay, now. I want to claim, what's, if I understand that the logic here is, I have a pill pull. And the pill pull is machzir me to a drasha, to a midah, to a drasha. So now, I mean, I didn't begin with the midah. I began with the pill pull. The pill pull brought me to the what? To the drasha. So, why didn't I, why didn't I stick here? With the pill? Why make the drasha here? But you could say, very, very simply, that, in other words, the pill pull, in a certain sense, is being maxime to this drasha, to this mitzvah, this limud. Now, why am I saying this for the following thing? Why do I use lashon of maxime? Okay, so now I want to make a historical hypothesis as follows. Everything fluctuates. We start like this. We have, let's say, the Gezer Shava. We have certain Sfon, Hekesh, etc., etc. And then after that, we have the Midas. Right. And let's assume, without loss of generality, we'll explain, let's say Hillel canonizes the Midas. Rabbi Ishmael, in other words, Rabbi Ishmael canonizes the Midas, canonizes the Limud, the notion of Limud. But later on in history, certainly in Teres Kahanim, we don't see that people, we see that certainly things are being learned through Pilipal. What Rabbi Ishmael canonizes the limud, canonizes the Gezeres Shava, etc., canonizes this limud, then afterwards a person can learn something, derech ha-pilpul, and since the Yud Gimel Midas have been canonized, I can say, I'm being machs the pilpul, that's the midah, that's a drasha from the pasuk, that's the midah. In other words, when Chazal speak about Osnil ben Kanaz being Machzir, the Gezer HaShavet, what does the Ishtachu mean? Ishtachu we see is a change in paradigm. There's a change in paradigm. Now, I could go from reason to scripture, I go from scripture to reason. But I'll always say that the reason I had was just being Machzir, the scripture. In other words, what I have is that when the Gemara speaks about Osil, that 1,700 Kavachoymes, because they were Shavuot, the Seferim, were what? Were forgotten during the Avelos of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Osil ben Kanaz was Masul de'a Pilpo, because Chazal are not only necessarily reporting a historical fact, but they're speaking about themselves. And that's really what we saw Rav Ashi and Temura do. That's what we see the Teres Kahanim doing. The Teres Kahanim made a pilpul, and then all of a sudden it pops up later on in Shas. But it pops up later on in Teres Kahanim as being a strict limud from a pasuk using a midah. So in other words, Chazal is speaking about themselves. Chazal is saying, once I canonize a text, and we spoke about the Illuminus as being a canonization of a text. Once I create a text, then every pilpul that comes afterwards is really coming to what? Is really coming to support that text. Just like every Pelish of the Gemara is coming to read the Mishnah. That's what Rashi says, the purpose of the Gemara is to read the Mishnah. Which means that every Svara, many Svaras that are made by the Gemara, are just, the Gemara is going to claim are readings of the Mishnah. Even though you might not read the Mishnah like that. But nonetheless, the Gemara can claim that, in other words, that a Svara, since the Gemara understands a Svara, and the Gemara says you can interpret the Mishnah like that, then the Gemara can say, we're reading the Mishnah, just like the Tumim says in the Ramor. Every Svara that I can think of that's right, I can put into the Ramor. If you can put into the Ramor, says the Tumim, you can certainly put in the Mishnah. If you can put In the Mishnah, I say, you can put it in the place of Rabbi Shmuel. So in other words, what we have over here is that the Gemara is, Chazal is speaking about themselves. Chazal is saying, and I claim that, Chazal is saying that after the Tekufa, probably from Hillel to Rabbi Shmuel, maybe, you know, you had these mitzvahs. After that, Chazal, and we'll still learn a lot of things through Pilpul. But we'll say that the Pilpul is none other, really, than the actual text of the Midah. And the Limud is a belated type of Hachzola, which Chazal speak about. That's not what I claim. So now...
See, the Shtakach doesn't mean nobody forgot anything.
I forget something.
It just means a change in paradigm.
How about that? Change in paradigm. You start with, just like by Hill level, a change of paradigm. In other words, if that's true, then who are we? We are where we're coming from.
So what's the much more of the word nishtachu?
So in other words, that's a good question. Why did Chazal use nishtachu? Because you could say it's a forced forgetting.
Kuhn wasn't
it's an intentional forgetting, right? But you could say it like that. But I want to say that in other words, shichacha could mean when I forget something. Shichacha to mean two things. I can say that in other words, it could be possibly be that you know that I you know you can blame me I forgot it, or you could say was forgotten. What does was forgotten mean? It means is that the somehow. One generation doesn't have the tools of the previous generation. In other words,
they've got more tools, different tools.
Right, they have different tools. But in other words, I forgot the first tools. In other words, for example, like you could say that after we learned how to use the computer, people forgot, you know, after you use your cell phone, people forgot how to use the telephone. Or for example, you know, after I learned how to drive a car, I forgot how to ride a bicycle. Maybe I forgot how to ride a bicycle. There was no one rides bicycles anymore. After I use a computer, I forgot to use an abacus. In other words, forgotten means that people no longer are using that. So it's not, you know, forgotten can mean two things in English. It can either mean I forget something, or it can mean it's not used anymore. For example, something like a forgotten art means people don't do it anymore. Now, for example, I mean, my wife tried to get to fix a certain chair, and you had it's a chair like with a bamboo that you have to weave or something. It's called, I don't know, cane. And someone said, well, that's a forgotten art. It's a forgotten art. No one forgot it. But people don't do it. Forgotten could mean people don't do it. That's in English. I don't know what Shtakha means. A Chazal. It could mean like that.
The Gemara sounds like Osnil Ben Kenaz was a pioneer. It was forgotten until Osnil Ben Kenaz came and brought it back through Pilpul.
But he brought it through Pilpul. But you see, he didn't remember the Kal Vachomer in the thing. He had to reinvent it.
But it sounds like Osnil Ben Kenaz wasn't just a product of his time where everyone was doing this. Was doing Pilpul.
Or it could possibly be either that, or maybe Osnil Ben Kenaz was the leader of this. Now I claim it could possibly be the leader of this Pilpul and the Midrashim might be Rabbi Akiva. Which would claim, you know, Mitzvah will play in the next lecture. But actually, in other words, this din of the Yud Gimel Midas gives way to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, even though he does use Yud Gimel Midas, most of the time he's not using Yud Gimel Midas. In other words, Rabbi Akiva has a whole derech of drasha. In other words, Yud Gimel Midas is sort of like a, you know, tools and techniques. Rabbi Akiva dashes every void. He's derech kisrei oisis, Rabbi Akiva. The crowns of the letter. He's not just using just logical principles. And we'll see mitzvah shem. In fact, there's a machlokes Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, Lama Zagmut is in Saita, that Rabbi Akiva says that Kolom Protim will give you the Torah, will give you the Sinai. And Rabbi Shmuel says that Kolom will give you the Sinai and Protim will give it later on. Now, they can speak about the Chumash Tekorah too, but you can understand that in a general way. In other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Kolom will give it the Sinai, the Protim will give it later on, meaning that what? The Kolom, which are the Yud Gimel Middas, are given at Sinai. And the Protim will later on, because of the Protim, using the Yud Gimel Middas, we can go back to what? We can go back, we can derive the Halacha. But Rabbi Kiva says, Kolom or Protim are given at Sinai. There's not a standard, you know, deductive rules, but rather, even a vav who bas koye, like Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Akiva, I think in Dalad in Sanhedrin, you're going to put a person to death because of extra vav, and then that Gemara Sota says bishemes Rabbi Akiva bottle cover atayah. In other words, Rabbi Akiva is willing to dash on every vav, he's willing to dash on every crown and every letter. So that's what means the pratim are given Sinai. In other words, every prat you know, can find this Bakor in the Pasuk. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, you know, we have these techniques and blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm not coming to create a whole Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva school, because it's clear that in most of the whole. What I'm saying is that clearly, in other words, what Rabbi Akiva was, in other words, the fact that Kloma Potom, given that Sinai means, that all it means is that I'm not, you know, I'm not for, you know, I'm going to dash in every prat from every Pasuk. So clearly I'm not going to limit myself just to certain, you know, certain middos in which to address by him. I'm going to take every vav, and even dash in kisrei oisus, that the Kabbalah says. I'm not going to use every possible way of drasha in order to take the entire Shem Yalpeh and place it in the Torah Shem Yalpeh. So, in other words, what I want to say is that to conclude, the agadites that are being spoken about here in Tumura, these agadites, I'm not, you know, Chas V'Shalom saying that Osnel Kanas wasn't on the pilpul, he was too. But they're also telling me that what? They speak about Chazal. Chazal love to speak about Chazal. Chazal are telling me about their things. In other words, and that's why the Gemara launches into agadites, in my opinion, for among other reasons. Many times Chazal will have a sugya and then they'll speak about themselves. Osnel Kanas, Mishra Beinu. In other words, Chazal understood that somehow through agadites they can reveal a little bit of what they're doing. And that's why, right, we see in the bulk of the Teiras Kahanim, we don't see a strict usage of the Midas. We see a lot of kalach from there, of zechel from there. The Teiras Kahanim goes back and forth. In the Midas, you don't go back and forth. In the Midas, you have the Midas, you apply the principle, and that's it. Why go back and forth? The Teiras Kahanim, in my opinion, the bulk of the Teiras Kahanim was the pilpul. Call it the Osnel Ben Kanaz type of pilpul. And I claim that that's why the Teiras Kahanim begins with the Yud Gimel Midas of Rabbi Yishmael. Because all this pilpul is just coming to be machzir things that were learned through what? The Yud Gimel Midas, but they were forgotten. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that in Jewish history, the paradigm and technique changed. And the Teiras Kahanim, the paradigm and technique changed. We see in most of Teiras Kahanim, there's very, very little use of most of the Yud Gimel Midas, right? However, what Chazal are telling us that no, don't think that they forgot the Yud Gimel Midas, that really, this pilpul just coming to be machzir Yud Gimel Midas that were forgotten. I want to claim that's why every edition of Teiras Kahanim begins with the Yudas of Rabbi Yishmael, even though what? Even though, ostensibly, you don't need the Yud Gimel Midas of Rabbi Shmuel to understand any part of the Teiras Kahanim. And what's interesting is, I think, what I'm saying is what the Ravid says. Right? Because the Ravid says, why does the Teiras Kahanim begin, this is the Ravid in the beginning of the Brais of Rabbi Shmuel? The Ravid says, right? The Teiras Kahanim bring the Yud Gimel Midas. I can learn Teiras Kahanim without the Yud Gimel Midas. Certainly the swallows, the back and forth, Kalach there, Zechel there. I mean, who needs Yud Gimel Midas to just, you know, just interfere? Says, right? The Ravid says, why do I need the Yud Gimel Brayso Gimel Shmaya? So he says, the Kulan Bena Kabbalah. It's come and teach me everything's from Kabbalah. Where's everything come from Kabbalah? These swallows are from Kabbalah. Are you telling me these swallows are from Kabbalah? Because Yosef would deny it. Yushami would deny it. I want to claim is that it might be what the Raiva is really telling me. This is really the Raiva. Is that I shouldn't think that the swallows here, the Teiras Kahanim, were just made up. Ultimately, they're men of Kabbalah. It might be that was the Derech Halil of the Teiras Kahanim is not that of these Yudkim Abedas. But you shouldn't think that the svaras of the Teiras Kahanim, right, ultimately, right, do not stem, not ostensibly, at least intrinsically, from the Yud Gimel Midas that, of course, are from the previous paradigm, the previous generation. That's all I'm going to claim.
Yeah. We talked about the Yud Gimel Midos before as a kind of crystallization, a freezing process of a more expansive Torah, which was frozen into a text for various reasons.
Right.
Are we now saying that there was
a
paradigm where there was freezing, then they were basically re-expanding?
That's the way things work. Let's look at this. The Mishnah is contraction. The Gemara is expansion. Then comes the Piskei Hagaonim, or whatever it is. That's contraction. Comes the Rishonim, it's expansion. Shulchan Aruch is contraction. And look what you have today. That's expansion. In fact, what's interesting is the Netziv. You brought to me this. The Netziv speaks about it. The Netziv speaks about, I think, the Bali Asufais, that this contraction expansion. In other words, the Gaonim is contraction, the Rishonim is expansion. In other words, Torah works by a freezing and a meltdown. A freezing and a meltdown, or a freezing and a thawing. I'm not exactly sure what metaphor to use. In other words, that's the way Torah works. Torah, there's always a freezing and expansion, freezing and expansion. Now, why does the Torah work like that? I think for a very simple reading. On one, we demand two things. On one hand, the Torah is eternal. We have to always be based on the past. That's the freezing. On the other hand, the Torah, has to, constantly apply to every generation. The Torah, Chazal, Chachamim, and all the generations have to use the Torah and expand upon the Torah, for issues that come up in their time. So the Torah Shebe'alpe is a process of freezing and expansion, And this is what's going on here too. In other words, once I freeze Yud Gimel Midos, then of course, the pilpul, the teyas kahanim, kalaf derazek al azek, that's a pilpul which is coming to explain something which was, you could formulate as big, or you could say this was a gzera shava, or a hekesh, or a minyan av, that we always had. That's the concept of shkachacha. The fact that here I gave you an example that we happen to see both. In other words, Rebbe formulates the thing is a drasha, as a mita, but the fact is that the thing is, originally probably began as this pilpul, this kalaf derazek. The Teres Kahane, the Tana here had to make a serious decision to compare A with B, A with C. Now you went back and forth. But then I say, oh no, that's the I always know that. That's the point of the Gemara here. But what I want to say is that the Lashon, why am I bringing this Gemara here? I mean, there are many Gemaras that speak about this. But the Lashon Gemara here is because it uses Gezeres Shavas. And it uses Gezeres Shavas, and it uses Kav HaChomer. So we see that Gezeres Shavas and Kav HaChomer were also frozen at one time. I think they were frozen by Rabbi Yishmael. That's my contention. Rabbi Yishmael froze the Midos. Yitzchak Levi also speaks of Midos, but those are Midos of Agadatas. In other words, we have a process of freezing beginning with Hillel. To Rabbi Shmuel. And then that I claim that the Tanayim, once again, expand upon these things. That's Rabbi Akiva. That's probably Stam Sifor, Rabbi Akiva. That's Rav. That's the Vayis Rabbi. But that's Rabbi Akiva. Okay? Now, the obvious question to raise is that so where does the Mishnah come into play? Okay, that's already a different issue. Why somehow, Lahalacha, we go like the Mishnah. We don't like the Teres Kahanim. Very interesting is that in the Gemara in Brachas, you asked me about the Gemara in Brachas, Heber Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu was given Tanakh. Mm-hmm. He's given Mishnah. He's given Gemara. Right? What else was he given?
And then the Shami says,
I ask you a question. What happened to the Sefer? Sefer doesn't count? What about the Sefri? What about the Mechilta? No doubt in a certain sense, but you should better receive these things. But what's interesting is that if you look in the context of the Rambam is Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah, brings the Gemara and Brachos, but only speaks about what? Kis Toshav Toshav Peh. But it's clear in the Rambam's Hakdama what speaks about Halachas B'Kubalos. I mean, the Rambam Shitasi holds the Moshe Rabbeinu cannot have been given,
right,
every Gemara or every Drasha, because clearly why should they have forgotten something? That's the Rambam Shitasi. I mean, we've spoken about this. So, why does the Rambam brings it there in the Hagdamah to the Mishnah Torah, in my opinion, and there it brings the whole list of the Masorah, you know, beginning with Moshe Rabbeinu, to Ravina of Ashi. Why does he bring the whole Masorah there? It's clear that the Rambam and the Masorah there, I think, was to counteract the Kohen. That's why the Raivit, the Sefer Kabbalah, brings the entire Masorah. The entire Masorah, that's why the Kuzari brings the entire Masorah. In other words, the Kohen claim, what right do you? What right do you say that you have a Masorah? You have a tradition. So what you do is you bring the entire Masorah. The Kohen also had a claim. Why is it, who says the Torah should be out there? We say the Torah himself is the Torah should be out there. The answer is, right? Right? The pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Ed l'chas l'chas ebel Torah mitzvah kasafti. What's the pasuk say? The pasuk clearly means the Torah should be out there. In other words, so why is the Rambam brings this chazal of Heman Avon Brochis to say, we have a Torah should be out there. Get the Kohen. Now, could it be, that's what the Gemara was doing in Heman Aleph. I'm sure they would stalk him around. Who said, hey, what are you talking about? I mean, Mishnah, Gemara. Why should I listen to that? So come to me and says, no, I have a pasuk. I have a pasuk with five extra words. What are the Kohen Mokim Moshe Rabbeinu? According to you, stalk him, only gave the Torah Shabbat Sam, what are the extra words? I should chasav ki lo yoysam. So he's listed, Mishnah, Gemara. Because those are the things that we claim have authenticity and validity. In other words, the Gemara in Brachos Haman Aleph is an answer, is a claim that what? That Mishnah and Gemara are not something which, you know, there's a makor in the Torah for them, there's a makor in the Torah should be out there. In other words, the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu was given, Mishnah and Gemara, is a claim that the Mishnah and Gemara is stemmed from an oral law that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what I want to claim.
And we assume Mishnah Gemara means Mishnah Gemara as we have it?
So I would say no, because I would say it's not Peshutta. But it means that, in other words, the Mishnah Gemara embody this oral law, which comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam certainly wouldn't like that.
You could say
Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Gemara of Ravina Ravashi. Maybe he did. But I don't think you have to say it like that. I think all you have to say is that all we're coming to say for the Pasuk is that we believe that the Mishnah Gemara are part of a continuum of the oral law. A continuum which begins with Moshe Rabbeinu. And I want to bring a raya, let me bring a raya from that, from a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Tesa Ben Aleph. The Gemara brings the pasuk, Ki Devar Hashem Bozo. Tzadik Tes? And there the Gemara says, what's called Devar Hashem Bozo? So, the Gemara says, I may interpret a Shemayim, Filo Kol Tera Kulim a Shemayim, Kuzi Pasuk Zer, Shalom Rakosh Bohu El Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmoi. And then, now you might say, well, maybe it means literally. Of course, I mean, here it means literally. But for example, Torah Chutz B'Dikduk Gzeh B'Kav HaChoyim Gzeh V'Shav Zeh. You can't say, that's from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because a person can't have a Kav HaChoyim. You want to know something? Even if you say, Moshe Rabbeinu L'Atzmai, the Gemara says in Megillah and other days, that the Klolos in Devarim, Rabbi Rishmeinu said, Mi Pi Atzmai. What does that mean? I'm not saying it wasn't from Chodesh Baruch Hu. But I'm saying is, maybe the Gemara is coming to Fuke, maybe the end of the Orach Haim, we give the volume. But in any case, the Gemara says, Rabbi Nosson, Kol Shem Yishenu Mashkiach La Mishnah. And then the Gemara says, Kol Avshul Asai Pater, Beno Oysen. What does that have to do with Moshe Rabbeinu? What the Gemara is doing is, the Gemara is saying is that if you deny Mishnah, if you deny Kal Vachoyna, if you deny Gzeh Rishapa, what you're denying is the link from us, which is a continuum from us up to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's called the Vahashem for Tukharish Bavu. That's called Kit Vahashem Baza. That's the Chiddush. Like the Kabbalah says in Brachos and Avraham Beis. You may be a Zatayra, what opinion says you make it on what? On Psukim, not on Medesh. What opinion says you make it on Medesh, not on Mishnah. What opinion says you make it on Mishnah, not on Gemara. What does it mean? In other words, you might think that since the Mishnah, or since the Medrash, like Rashi says, only Korah of the Psukim, but not the Psukim itself. So you might think you should make Dusan Torah. The answer is you should make Dusan Torah because, in a sense, it's like Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us everything. But it doesn't mean literally. It means that Chazal understood that the ways which they use to understand the Pesukim, right, represent the continual, right, called God of Yosef, the continual voice of Har Sinai. And that's the Baruch Hashem Boza.
It's not a very good attack, defense against the Pesukim, though, because they'll say, well, you're just making it up.
The important thing is Chazal are coming to communicate Hashkafas to us. What Chazal is saying to us is that the way we treat a Gezeira Shava and a Chal V'Chomer of Chazal, the way we treat a Mishnah, right, should be no different than the way we treat a Pasuk in the Torah.
What does that mean, the Masa, the way I treat it?
It means
I know that it was made up by Hillel.
The answer is, I think Chazal is speaking, if I look really what's going on over here, it's clear for many Gemaras that the Amoraim can no longer create original Darshas.
Mm-hmm. From the Chumash.
From the Chumash. Meaning that what?
Meaning in Halacha.
In Allah, right. I mean, you've got to do whatever they want. Right. But I'm saying this, so therefore what do we have? So when I claim what we have is that, as far as I'm concerned, the Midah, in other words, if the Midah is not Menashe Mayim, so I can overturn the Midah, Chazal. I can't, at this point, in Chazal, in the Amorim, I can't overturn the Midah. I can't overturn the Mishnah. Now, the Amorim can overturn Gemaras, the Amorim is speaking. In other words, that, an Amorim can't argue in a Mishnah. And that's what Amnosin says, call me Shin Mashkiach HaLa Mishnah. An Amorim can't argue in a Mishnah. For all intents and purposes, it's like the Chumash. Just like a human being can't overturn a Chumash, we, the Amorim, cannot overturn what? Mishnayis. And we can't overturn the Drash of Chazal like the Kesef Mishnah speaks about. In Paripes and Mamim, but I'm speaking of Tanoim. That's what I'm speaking about. So in other words, what Chazal, this is the way Chazal spoke. Chazal say if a person overturns a Mishnah, overturns a Kal V'Chomer, what he's doing is, he's rejecting the paradigm, and that's the Dvar Hashem Baza, because until the paragraph, that's the Dvar Hashem. That's the continual Dvar Hashem in history. That's what I was speaking about.
So yeah. At every change of paradigm, there's a certain amount of controversy.
Right.
Like, is this now the right time for the change of the Ben B'nai B'Seder and Hillel,
yeah,
and even at Ayom HaZeh?
Yeah.
What is it, just the Hashgacha of how it works out that decides what the change of paradigm is? In other words, how do we know the Karais come and said, well, we're a new change of paradigm, we're now going to learn like this?
I don't know, you're asking the question. I think maybe we have to think about the Mitzvah the next time. In other words, when does it happen that a paradigm changes? Once again, you know, why did Rebbe decide at this point, to redact the Mishnah, and after that is Gemara? So, in other words, there are all different possibilities. Could possibly be that, this is actually one of the discussions about, about Chodon Vassam and Hashem, you come down with the Chazanisa Chodon Vokha. Now, what is the Chasim B'Sashat? Do we say it's a year that's updated us, this and that? Right? This goes into things that maybe we'll speak about in another time.
Would you say Shulchan
Aruch? I'm right, no question about it. And Echanam, you're right, Echanam, you're right. So, that's something like that. But anyway, we're almost at the end. We are not going to be around, we're not going to have Shul for the next 2 weeks, because we will not have the technical nor spiritual source of the Shulam. But in any case, until then, I wish you a Frederich and a happy Chanukah. You should enjoy this victory, this great victory over Hellenism, which you've witnessed in the last few Shiurim. And in any case, until after Chanukah, be well, call to from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Rakhidesh.